Well, I'm not Pastor Luke. I'm much taller. I would say more athletic, but he can run really fast. And him really far, really fast. He talked me into running a marathon, or training for a marathon. The marathon ended up getting canceled, and we're running out at the VA together one day, and he's doing most of the talking. I'll just say that. I'm trying to catch my breath, so he's very athletic. Anyway, so Pastor Luke, he is with his family, spending some time with family on vacation, so you have me here today. We're in a series. We just started a series last week with Pastor Luke. He kicked us off on a series we're calling We Will Too. It's a series on our church values, mission, vision. And Pastor Luke spent last week just touching on the importance of our values, on what it means to have values and the importance of them. And so he said that our values are like guardrails that set up our behavior and our culture just like we would be in accomplishing our vision and mission. And so we have five different values here at the church. We love, we serve, we give, we believe, and we go, right? And those values are like guardrails that set up the culture as we accomplish our vision and mission. So, right, we have a mission. Our mission is connecting people to the newness of life found only in Jesus Christ. And our vision is 1,000 strong. Our vision is the next thing that we see on the horizon. Like if you're driving down the road, it's the next thing that you can see as you're going accomplishing your mission. And so our values set up that framework, that environment, that culture, that atmosphere as we go, right? And so one of the examples Pastor Luke gave us was like the culture or environment that we have at home is really determined by the values that we have. And so, for example, whenever I was growing up at home, whenever we came inside, when we came inside from outside playing or something, we took off our shoes. That was something that my parents said. They, you know, they always say it like it's a statement, right? They're like, "Hey, when we come inside, we take our shoes off," right? Well, why? Why did we have to take our shoes off when we came in? Why was that behavior? Why that culture, that atmosphere? Well, it's because my parents valued cleanliness, yeah. Right? They didn't want mud and dirt all strung all through the carpets and the rugs and everywhere, right? They valued cleanliness, so therefore, we had a certain behaviors and an environment. Another example would be at dinner time, my family, we always ate dinner at the table. We never ate dinner watching TV, right? We always ate dinner there at the table, all of us huddled together around the dining room table. And then as we got older and they started coming out with cell phones, right? One of my first phones was the Razor. Anybody have a Razor? Yes. Then, so it wasn't just the TV at that point. They said, "Hey, when we're at the table, you got to put your phones away, right? It's just, we've got to put our phones away." Well, why? Why that behavior? Why that culture? Why that atmosphere? Well, because they valued family time, right? They wanted us to spend some time together as a family, talk, communicate, right? And so the values determine the culture. Now, for us as a church family, this is important. Right? Because we have a big vision and a big mission. Can you say amen? Right? We're connecting people to the newness of life found only in Jesus Christ. This is a little bit more important than just a rug, right? This is just a little bit more important than dinner. Come on. This is about people getting saved. Can you say amen? And so, therefore, right, we want to be very specific about our values so that we have, and so that's why we have established values, right? But we want to be very specific so that we have a culture and an atmosphere among us that is conducive to people getting saved,
yeah.
Right? And so, Pastor Luke, you went on to say that it's important that all of us understand our role in this, that all of us are equally as important, right? So, for example, if it takes everybody involved to become a participator of the culture, but it takes... and to like make the culture happen, but it takes just one person to like break the culture and break the environment. So like, for example, if me and my sister, whenever we came inside, we took our shoes off. But if my brother, because he's a sloppy pig, I'm just kidding. If my brother, if he came in, he didn't want to take his shoes off. Well, then immediately, what, the culture's broken. That atmosphere is broken, right? It just like takes one person, or at dinner time, right? If he's like, hey, you know what, I just want to sit here and watch TV, right? That culture, the atmosphere in the home at that point gets broken. All of us have a role to play. We can't minimize our role. All of us have a role to play. And so actually today, we're going to be diving into that some. We're going to spend some time talking about our first value that we're going to go over, which is we serve. We serve. So if you're taking notes, you can write that down. We serve. So what does it mean to serve, right? What does it mean? What do we mean by we serve? So, you know, I think the general attitude is like we're just like doing tasks, right? We're just like doing things. For example, if I wanted to serve Pastor John, right? Does we serve mean that right before he's getting ready to come up on stage, he's got his guitar in his hand, I just like grab the guitar out of his hand and say, hey, no, it's okay. Let me serve you today. I will take the guitar and I will lead worship. You just sit back and relax. I will serve you today, right? Is that what we mean, right, by we serve? Well, we've said this. The second part of our value, so we have we serve, but then the second part is Jesus washed feet, we will too. So when we say we serve, we mean we will wash feet too, because that's what Jesus did. Now, if this is your first time in church particularly, or if you're a new believer or something, this can sound kind of crazy, right? Wait a second, I did not sign up for washing feet, right? So let's just jump right in, right there, and we'll start talking about this, where Jesus washed his disciples' feet. So turn with me to John chapter 13. We're going to read this passage of scripture where Jesus washed feet and talk about it. John chapter 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not everyone is clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So obviously this is the passage where we get, where we garner this value from, right? Jesus says in verse 14, he says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed feet, so you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. So does this mean that we literally wash feet? No, right? We're just going to say no. It does not mean that we literally wash feet. I mean, you can try it. If that's how you want to try to serve, you can try it. You're probably not going to get very far, though, right? You go to Kroger's and a towel, or even come to church next week wearing just a towel, bring some water with you, go to Pastor Luke and say, hey, I would like to wash your feet. It's ridiculous, right? No, we don't serve people by literally washing their feet, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, just so we're on the same page. But this is what Jesus said to do, right? He said, like, wash people's feet, all right? So If this is what he said to do, then this is probably what we should do, right? Well, the reason why Jesus was, so like we can't wash people's feet. It's like ridiculous for us to think we would wash people's feet. But Jesus, he did wash people's feet. Like he literally did that. So why and how could he do that? Why did Jesus wash people's feet? Well, Jesus, this wasn't just like a singular moment in time, right? Jesus had spent the last 3 years with his disciples. Jesus, for us, it's ridiculous to think, okay, washing people's feet is nuts. But for Jesus, he had spent the past 3 years with his disciples. They were literally his followers, right? When he said, hey, come follow me, it meant that they were literally going with him everywhere from that point on, right? They were going to be, learning from him. You know, they were going to be traveling wherever he went. He was going to be feeding them, right? He was going to be caring for them. They were with him 24/7. And so Jesus, he had put himself in a position where he was able to know their needs, was able to know what they needed taught, right? The reason why Jesus was able to wash their feet was because he knew that they needed a lesson on humility, right? That's really what this passage is about. Jesus had spent some time with them, and he had overheard them talking about who's going to be the greatest among them, who's better than the other disciples, right? So he knew that, hey, I need to wash your feet. And so it's not as we should be washing people's feet, but it's that we have to get into a position where we can know people, where we can be in close proximity to people to know how we can add value to them, to know how we can support them, to know how we can help them. It's not about washing people's feet. We serve means we get into a position where we can add value, where we can support, where we can help. It takes us being in close proximity to people to know that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to start reading in verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So he's saying that we have specific gifts and abilities that have been given to us by God. But we have to get in a position close enough in proximity to people where we can know how we can put those gifts to work, right? We have to put ourselves, that's what we mean when we say we serve. We have to get in a position where we see, okay, the things that God has given us, we then know how we can help them because we're in that close proximity. And so what I want to say is that one thing that a lot of people, I think, where they miss it in terms of like getting in position is they think that it just means we're available. Say, for example, VBS, right? We've talked about VBS the past couple weeks. It's one thing to say that we go to Miss Stacy and we say, hey, anytime you need help in the children's ministry, you just let me know. I'm here. I'm available. That's one thing to say that. But then it's a completely different story to then actually put ourselves in a position where we then can be serving. It's a completely different story to go from, hey, I'm available, to then going through growth track, right? Going through growth track and then getting plugged into the children's ministry team, right? It's a completely different story to put ourselves in a position whenever they had signups for VBS to put ourselves in the position where, hey, I'm actually physically now going and signing up, right? It's not just a matter of us being available, right? It's a matter of us getting into a close enough proximity where we then can use the gifts that we've been given. Because once you get into that place, then the opportunities expand and you can see where you fit and where you belong, right? With VBS, right? There were so many different ways to get involved. You could be building things, you could be decorating things, you could be on a stage making kids laugh, right? But you have to, it first takes us getting in close enough proximity so that we then can use these gifts that God has given us, right? We're not to be just spiritual consumers, right? Church isn't about us. Can I get an amen? Church isn't about us. Church is about God using the gifts that we have inside of us. It's about us getting equipped, right? That's what pastors, teachers, evangelists are for, right? That's what the church, equipping of the saints, right? It's about us being contributors to the vision, the mission of the church, and really being a witness for Jesus Christ, yes. Right? Yes. And so we have to get in a position, we have to position ourselves so that we can be serving. Excuse me. If I can get my cap off, goodness gracious. So, we have specific gifts and talents, abilities and callings that God has given us, right? And we use those as we get in position. So, one thing that I see a lot of times happening that prevents people from actually getting into position is that they think really, really small of the gifts that God has given them. They belittle their gifts. Now, Moses, if you don't know anything about Moses, he did this. So, quick recap of Moses' life. Moses, he basically ran away from Egypt. He was a slave, ran away from Egypt, and he ended up in a place where he meets God, and God calls him to go back to free all the other slaves that were back in Egypt, and they were God's people. They were the Israelites, God's people. And so God appears to him and says, hey, Moses, I'm sending you to go to free all the Israelites. Go back to Egypt and free all of them. Well, in this encounter, Moses, he's like, whoa, wait a second. Like, I can't do this. And he says, I'm like slow in speech. He says, like, I'm not a good speaker. And he says, send somebody else. Let somebody else do it. And I think a lot of the times what prevents people from, like, stepping up and getting in position is thinking that it's somebody else could do a better job than me. So why should I, if really, I'm really the best person to do this, am I really, like, good enough to do this? We belittle our gifts. But get this, right? If God was calling Moses to speak, yeah, and to speak to Pharaoh, he was calling him to speak before kings. If God was calling him to do that, then surely God had equipped him to do that. Right. See, Moses might have thought that his gift wasn't much. We might not think that we have that good of an ability. But see, this is God given, and God doesn't do anything. God, the gifts that God gives us are amazing. You know, God doesn't give us bad gifts, right? Like, if God gave us a gift, it's going to be a good gift. It's going to be before kings, right? And so, this ended up making God angry, to make a long story short, making God angry so much so that Moses was so persistent on letting somebody else, let somebody else go, that God had to end up using somebody else. And so if we back ourselves into a corner and think like, man, I'm not good enough, man, we can miss opportunities for God to use us. So instead of thinking little of our gift, right, instead of really even thinking about our gift, let's just place our eyes on the giver, yeah, right? You know, it's not so much about my gift, but it's about the one who gave me the gift, right? If God is great, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, right? It's not about my gift, not man, I'm really talented and I can do all things because I'm really, no, it's God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We have value. We can add value. We have gifts, callings, talents that God has given us so we can get in a position to serve and use them. Another thing is I think people are afraid of failure whenever it comes to stepping out, getting ourselves in a position, we're afraid of failing. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. This is the story of, it's a parable that Jesus is telling of the bags of gold, or the parable of the talents. And instead of reading the whole thing, I'm just going to like summarize it really quickly. So to make a long story short, there's a master, and he has three of his servants that he leaves in charge of, that he leaves money in charge with, or he leaves them in charge of money. And so he then goes away, and there's one that has like 10 bags, one has five, and one that has one. And the master goes away, and he comes back to see what they've done with their bags of gold. And we're using this in the sense today of our gifts and our callings that God has given us. So the master has given them these bags of money, these talents. God has given us these talents, our talents, abilities, callings, whatever. And so that this is the sense that we're reading this today. Okay, so Matthew 25, I'm going to start reading in verse 24. This is the third servant. The first two, they come back and they have used the gift that they were given. They have used the talent that they were given. The first two did use it. And now we're to the third one. Verse 24. So then the man who had received one bag of gold came. He came before his master. He said, "Master," he said, "I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." So again, I said, I think people, a lot of the times, they don't want to step out because they're afraid. And the reason why this servant didn't use the gift that he was given, didn't use the talent that he was given, the money that he was given, was because of fear. Right? He said, "I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground." Fear can paralyze us. Fear of failing can paralyze us. But get this, let's keep reading. Okay, so his master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant, so you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed." So I don't know if you can pick up on what the master is saying here, but he's having a little bit of sarcasm in his voice, right? So basically what's happening is the servant is afraid of failing because he thinks that he's going to get punished by his master. And so the master, his response, he points it out and says, "Oh, so you knew really that I was a hard man. You knew really. Did you really think that I was going to like punish you and be rude and, you know, ruin your life or whatever?" And so I think a lot of the times we're afraid of failing because, just like the servant, we have a bad view of our master. He had a bad view of his master, and so then therefore that dictated his response to his master, to what he had been given. But if you look in the beginning half of the passage, the very first thing that the master did with the other two was bless them. His intent was blessing. God, you know, even God's intent is not, the master's intent is not punishment, wrath, you know, anger. You know, God does have that side, obviously. God's a God of war. Can you amen? But God's intent is blessing. And I don't know really how else I can just like get this point across other than just like saying it like this. God is a good God.
Yeah.
God is a good God. God hasn't given you gifts and talents and abilities so that we can just sit on them and be afraid that we're going to like let God down, that he's going to be angry at us because then we like screwed up and now people aren't getting saved and all this sort of thing. And, you know, it could have been better if I would have just, man, now it's my fault that this was that bad, right? No, God's a good God. His intent is to bless us as we just step out and just use the talents, gifts, abilities that God has given us. God is a God of blessing. I say it all the time, Hebrews 11:6, that all who come to God must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God is in the business of blessing. God is in the business of blessing. Now, there's a sense in this that we can understand that this is a factor of obedience, right? Right. So even back in Romans 12, these are very similar passages in one sense. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12, when he's talking about those gifts and using them, he says, so if you have a gift to teach, then teach. If you have a gift to serve, then serve. If you have a gift to give encouragement, then like give encouragement, right? He's not offering suggestions, right? These are commands. And so then even in this, they were commanded to reproduce more, right? They were commanded to reproduce more. And so in a sense also, right, it is a factor of obedience or disobedience. For us to just sit on our talents, our gifts, and never put ourselves in a position to serve, really, we're just disobeying God, right? We're just disobeying God. But the reason it's a command, the reason why it's not just like, well, it'd be nice if you just, you know, served at VBS every once in a while. Like the reason why it's a command to get in serving, it's a command to get ourselves in a position, is because it's extremely important. It's because of how important it is. And so back in Romans 12, whenever Paul is talking about the illustration of how we and our gifts are just like a member on a body, that illustration, I think, is really powerful in demonstrating how important it is that we get in position to use our gifts and talents and callings, how important it is that we position ourselves so that we are actually serving. And so I just want to demonstrate that really quick. Will, is he here? Well, there he is. All right, give Will a hand. He's going to help me demonstrate this. Say hello to the people.
Hello.
All right, so talking about us being a part of the body, right? We have gifts, like a finger, it can open and close, right? Like our arms can move, right? We are a part of the body, and we have specific functions, gifts, abilities. Okay, you following me? All right. So I want you to just move this chair just like to the side. All right, thank you. Very, very easy, right? Okay, well, that's because all parts of his body were engaged in doing it, right? So we can really demonstrate this. So now, okay, I want you to use your hand to move the chair, right? So go ahead and take your hand. Okay, well, see now, his arm is currently being engaged. So like keep your arm's dead. Just pretend that your arm's dead. So now use your hand and try to pick up the chair. No, that's your fingers. You can't use your fingers, your hand. Okay, we know what really, you're actually standing up. So really you're using your feet too. So go ahead and you're using your knees. You're still using your knees all the way down, all the way down. Now use your hand. Can you move the chair? You're still using your fingers. And your eyes, you have to close your eyes. Okay, you can stand up. Did you turn off your ears? You can stand up, you're good. You can stand up. All right, give him a hand. Thank you. So, pretty stupid, silly illustration, I get it. But it demonstrates the hand can't do anything unless all the other parts of the body are engaged in doing it. And so, this was a pretty small thing. It was moving a chair, right? It took all parts of the body to move a little chair. Granted, the chair is actually deceivingly heavy. I'll give him that. But to move a chair, it took all parts of the body to do it. Something small. So then how important is it, how crucial is it that all of us are in a place serving when we have a big mission and a big vision? It is vital that we serve. It's a command because it's important. We're talking about people coming to a saving revelation of Jesus Christ. It's about connecting people to the newness of life that's found only in Jesus Christ. Man, we're not just here to play games. Man, the church is not just like a club. We can come and like hang out and where it's fun and we drink coffee. No, we're talking about people getting saved. people getting saved. And we have a vision, a big vision, right? 1,000 strong. That's currently more than twice at what we're operating at right now, about twice at where we currently are. Like, we're at 500 regular attenders. We want to see 1,000. This is the next thing we see on the horizon, right? It's going to take all of us getting involved, all of us doing it, so that we can actually see that happen. We can no longer just sit back and not serve. And if I can say this, we have an amazing servant culture here at the church. An amazing serving culture here at the church. You can take VBS, for example. There were more people serving in VBS than what there are average church attenders in America and other churches. That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, my wife and I, we're still, I guess you could say, relatively new. We became the youth pastors here in January, and we've known of this church for a little while. And the very first thing that stood out to us whenever we had ever attended a service is how many people are serving.
Yeah.
Just like, there's like loads of people serving everywhere. It's amazing. And if you take VBS, for example, we talk about VBS a lot. I mean, VBS was incredible. I mean, come on, 81 people saved. Wow.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, amen. And VBS was amazing. It was awesome. You know, there was like the decorations. I was like generally taken back, like stunned at the decorations alone. And then the number of people that they had, the fact that, you know, I misspoke a couple weeks ago. I said that there were 81 children added to the kingdom of God. That actually included some adults. So the children's ministry is, they've expanded their reach. They're not even just reaching children. They're reaching adults.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so as awesome and as amazing as VBS was, man, can we just imagine for a minute how much more awesome it could be if more of us would get on board? You know, if more of us, the gifts that we would have, right? If that's what we're called, right? The talents, if we would just get in a position where we're actually serving, not just sitting on them, not just saying, well, hey, I'm available. Well, hey, you know, I told them they could, you know, they could call me anytime. Well, I don't know why they didn't call me. I told them I was available. Man, because we have to get in a position to serve. It's very intentional. Jesus, he had intentionally placed himself in a position where he could know their needs, know them, so that then he could be value to them, add value to them. We have to get in a position where we can serve. So here's what we're going to do today. I want to give you four different ways that you can intentionally get in a position to serve. Intentionally get in a position where you can use the talents, gifts, and abilities God has given you to advance his kingdom. So four ways, okay? Number one, attend Growth Track today. Growth Track is our way, really, at just connecting people with the position and the talents that God has given them to serve. Today, specifically, we're on step three. So there's a couple different steps, but today specifically is the step where we are literally helping you find a place to serve. This is like the perfect one for We Serve. This is like the perfect one to like attend. And so Growth Track is happening today, immediately after this service at 1 p.m. in the upstairs auditorium. Don't let this moment pass you by. Yes, there's going to be more Growth Tracks, but if it's your excuse now not to go, it's going to be your excuse later not to go, right? So if you can, go to Growth Track today, okay? Get in a position to serve and use the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given you. Number two, okay, if you can't attend today, and I say that like very loosely, okay, cancel your plans. So you were going to go out to eat the Mexican. They can wait, okay? They'll be there next Sunday too, okay? Really encourage you to attend today. It's a good one today. Number two, okay, is to sign up for the next round of Growth Track. So here's how you're going to do that, okay? We have Connect cards in the seat backs in front of you. And if you want to sign up for the next round of Growth Track, take out one of those Connect cards and just check mark the thing where your next step is to do Growth Track. Okay? Make sure your name is on there, and then we will contact you with more information on when that will be, which is probably going to be very soon. Number three is to put me back on the schedule, right? Because I think what happens, we say, yes, I'm going to serve, and then they send the serve request, and then we hit decline, right? So if you've gone through Growth Track, great, awesome, okay? But we have to accept it, right? And if the team leaders have stopped sending the request, well, okay, here's what we're going to do to fix that. We're going to put on the Connect card, write your name on there, and say, sign me back up or schedule me in, okay? And we'll know what you're talking about. That way, we can get in position to serve. And then number four is Serve Week, Serve Day, August 19th through 22nd. So you have these bulletin inserts. Everybody should have gotten one of those. If not, you could grab one of those on your way out. It has lots of different ways that we're going to be serving here on Serve Week, several different projects that we're going to be doing. And so what we can do is you can fill this out, you know, to use gifts, talents, and whether it's a Connect card or whether it's this, you can, you know, fold it up and put it in the offering plate, which we're going to pass around here in just a couple minutes as we receive our tithes and offerings. So Connect cards, fill those out, get in a position to get serving, or this is even another great option, okay? So get serving.